All right, it's the second week of the month, August 2020. I'm with Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett for another Ask the Mayor. Thank you so much for having us. I know you're really busy.
It's great to be here. I enjoy this show and get a lot of positive feedback from it, so I really like doing it.
Well, good. You know, it's back to school month, and we've been talking a lot in Bloomington, too, with John Hamilton, because you've got public schools going back and college students returning, a lot of concerns. I feel like our newsroom, and I'm sure you're hearing the same, a lot of emails coming in from residents saying, what's going to happen? Why is this being allowed to happen? We'd love to get your perspective and on the city's relationship working with ISU to keep not only students, but the residents there safe this month.
You know, that's just been a big topic of discussion with the K through 12 and with our colleges and universities that, boy, what's going to happen when all these students come back to Terre Haute? And, you know, I think ISU specifically, obviously they're the big player in the game here with the majority of people. You know, they've done a good job to, and they even rolled out some new information yesterday about how they're going to isolate the students and things like that, deciding not to have fall sports. They continue to evolve their plan. Almost seems like every few days you get some new piece of information. So I think they're on top of it from that perspective of how to protect the students and the staff on the campus. What gets tricky is the unknowns of what's really going to happen. Our numbers continue to go up here. We're at over 700 today, and there for the longest time, we hovered around 200 and just didn't move much anywhere. And if you look and say, okay, what's changed in that time? Not a whole lot. Now the students are coming back, so now you're really going to have a lot of churning of people being intermingled here, and I don't know what's going to happen. So my general take is I'm confident that these professionals who are making these decisions within these specific organizations, they've thought this out and they're thinking everything they can possibly do to keep their staff and the students safe is what they're going to do. And then from the city's perspective, we just want to help reinforce the things they're trying to do with their community, if you will, and that have people in our community then be conscious here on our side that you're going to have students coming in your stores. You're going to have students coming in the gas station, whatever, and just continue to wear your mask and do the social distancing, and we'll get through this just fine. It's easy to say that, but I guess we'll see whether the numbers really go up higher, because right now the big numbers we're seeing is in that 20 to 29 age group, which is, you know, just out of high school and college and young adults. That's where the spread is really the biggest. And so I'm going to guess that that's going to continue to be that way for at least the next few weeks or months.
I want to get your quick take there. You mentioned about the masks. I think the state mandate came after we talked last time. How do you feel about Holcomb's statewide mask mandate?
Yeah, I think he probably should have done it a little sooner. You know, that's just my position. I had lots of conversation with his staff about that. Just because people were looking for something like that, you know, when they were leaning on me in a way saying, Mayor, why don't you just do an executive order? Well, problem is it only lasts 7 days. Then you have to go to the city council. And if the county doesn't do it along with you, it's really awkward to say, well, you have to wear them in the city, but you don't have to wear them in the county. And it just wasn't that easy. When the governor comes out with an overall order, then everybody can play by the same rule. I think people have done very well. I get calls every day in the office saying, I just went somewhere and nobody's wearing a mask. But all the places that I go, the vast majority of people are. And I understand why they have maybe some personal health issues or other reasons why they don't want to wear a mask. And that's their choice. But at least think about everybody else you come in contact with. You may have it, you may have COVID-19 and don't know it, and that way you're not spreading it, or at least hope you're not spreading it. So I'm glad he did it, and I think it just made it a little easier for all of us to have one uniform, you know, request that people wear masks, and I think it's working. Now, our numbers are going up, but, you know, that kind of, some of this stuff was happening prior to the mask thing, so we'll see what happens in the next few weeks.
Oh, yeah. And I, of course, looked at the numbers there in Vigo County and saw that it seemed like August 1st, you're right, there seemed to be a spike. Daily were 18, 22. And then
we
it
never have that.
Yeah, and then it went up to about 44. But there's no indication from health officials there of why that almost doubled, huh?
Well, what I'm hearing is it's the younger kids that are going to swim parties, graduation parties, drinking parties, whatever, where you get, you know, a whole bunch of kids together and they kind of think they're invincible. They're not wearing their masks. They're not social distancing. One kid's got it, two kids got it. And the next thing you know, 10 or 20 kids have it, you know, a week later. And so I think that's the big numbers. That's where they're coming from right now. We even had a problem with our Deming Park pool with some of our lifeguards that had attended an event and one of them got sick. And so we had to quarantine the rest of them. Only one actually got it, but you know, I didn't have any lifeguards for a week. So it doesn't take long to go through that process, whether you get COVID-19 or not. If you have to be quarantined, that still kind of shuts that whole thing down while you're waiting to see. And so we're actually seeing some positive cases, though, with these young people that are making those numbers go up.
What about enforcement there for not just masks and social distancing, but large groups of people? I know some cities just call the authorities. Some have a special phone number, hotline to call. What's the Terre Haute Vigo County way with dealing with enforcement of these issues?
You know, we don't have any special things set up. They can just call the police department if they believe that's the case. They can call the central dispatch. They can call my office, and that's what some people do. I really haven't had much of a problem, though, with large gatherings. I think people are adhering to that. The churches especially, they're still doing, you know, things over the internet, doing some kind of virtual presentation, Facebook or whatever it might be. The smaller churches seem to be meeting, but, you know, there are fewer people and they have plenty of room to space out. And a lot of the big events, I know there's some weddings and things that have gone on, but people have, from what I've heard, they've been very cautious to try to protect everybody that's attending these things. But I can assure you that if somebody sees an event going on and they think they're not following the guidelines, they're going to call us. And we're not going to go out. We're not going to arrest anybody. We're just going to tell them you're in violation of this. You know, you need to break it up, whatever it might be. We just want to work with people and have them use a little common sense with this. I don't want to be punitive because I really don't have that enforcement side of this. It's very difficult. We can go out and we can do some enforcement, but we're not going to write people tickets or throw anybody in jail for violating those things. We just want them to stop and, you know, and go back home, whatever you need to do, but break up the crowd. And we really haven't had much of that at all. Most of the complaints I get, you know, I was at Meijer and somebody didn't have a mask on, or I saw somebody at the park and they didn't have masks on, that kind of stuff. And so we just try to remind people when we see them, please wear a mask, keep 6 feet, and everything will be fine.
You know, we reported this past weekend, ISU announced no football, at least for this fall. And now there's all this news about Big Ten, other conferences not having football. And, you know, it's this rippling effect. You know, now I think Terre Haute businesses, these college towns were looking forward to that little boost of economic spur and of activity. And now that is going away too. What do you say to those businesses that were looking forward to all that football revenue this fall?
Well, I'm hopeful that we'll have a spring football season. So that'll be kind of different, but at least you would be able to still have a season in this. Wouldn't be the same fiscal year for them, but at least they'd be able to do that. So maybe next year they would have two football seasons. I don't know how that might work. I guess we'll see. But it is really significant. A lot of our restaurants, bars, you know, those places all do very well on game day for whatever, you know, whether it's football or basketball or whatever, the more attended sports. But, you know, I think everybody understands. It's just what's really hurting small business is this keeps on going on. And if there was some end in sight where business could get back to normal, so at least their income is somewhat normal, and then bring the football and basketball, who knows what's going to happen with basketball, but bring those nights and days back again, that will help them catch back up with the revenue. Problem is, you don't know when that's going to be. Will there be spring football? Who knows? And so you can't count on anything or think, okay, if I can just make it 6 more months, I'll be fine. Some of these businesses are stretched pretty thin right now.
We know a lot of controversy too over opening schools. What's the situation like there for public schools and guidelines for K through 12? And is that starting to move smoothly too?
You know, when they first announced that a couple of weeks ago, everybody was going to go back to school, and then it got moved back a week, but they said it wasn't COVID related. There were some other technical issues. And so starting school next week, but then just this week, and then the last few days, they changed it a little bit again, where now first part of the alphabet goes 2 days and then 3 days the following week, the other half of the alphabet does 3 and 2. And so they're trying to reduce the number of students in the school, in the classroom. So whether it changes again before next week, I don't know, but I think they're really trying to be cautious, yet get kids back, you know, get them back in school, but do it in a way that's as safe as you can be. So some of the feedback I've heard, there are teachers that are concerned about that. There are parents that are concerned that they just don't want their kids there, bringing it home possibly. But I have other parents saying, yeah, I want my kids to go to school, but I can't get daycare for 3 days one week and 2 days the next week. The system's not set up that way. And so most of these daycares are already full, or, you know, have, if they got a space, they got 5 day spaces. They don't have 2 and 3. And so I think that's going to be a real challenge for families, is how you make this new hybrid schedule work. You know, so some kids are going to be working remotely, some kids are going to be in school, and it's just going to be, I mean, I really feel for all those people who are involved. Luckily, I don't have any kids in K through 12 anymore, but my grandson is he'll be in first grade this year, and so it's just interesting. He's ready to go back. He wants to do it. But we're all like, well, you know, I think it's safe, but who knows where this is going to go. If the numbers continue to go up and teachers start getting sick, you know, you can't teach. So I'm just not sure anybody knows the answer to these questions. It's just doing everything you can today, what we know today, to make it as best we can for tomorrow, and then deal with when tomorrow comes.
Before we go, I just had a few other questions. This about the casino groundbreaking. I think you were hoping for that at what, about this time of year? Are there any updates on that?
It's supposed to be next month still. I'm still hearing that, but I don't have a date yet. So should have a groundbreaking sometime in September. It's moving along. I talked to the owner not too long ago, and he's just still, there's a lot to do there. But that's his goal, is to get it started. You know, 1st of October kind of a thing. So we should hear something very soon on that.
But same plan, same design, same everything.
Yep.
Okay. You know, and we talked so much too about the new convention center, Larry Bird Museum, that was pre-pandemic. Are there any plans now to look back and say, you know, hey, things have changed. You know, conferences will probably change. Do we need to adapt? Is anything like that happening?
No, because I really believe we'll get back to a pretty normal environment. I really do. And we're not going to be open, you know, for 18 months anyway. So I think that maybe the timing was kind of good. I mean, if it's going to happen, it's better to happen now than just after we opened it, obviously. Who knows if there's another pandemic on the horizon out there. I'm not trying to be negative, but nobody knows what the future holds. But I really believe that there's a lot of value into going to conferences and being around other people and learning new things. I go to conferences several times during the year, and I really believe that industry will recover in time, and hopefully we will hit the right on the right cycle, and we'll do great things here in Terre Haute.
And then how about anything new on the new police station?
We will start having, we'll be on the agenda in September, to begin the process. So very specific formal information soon to arrive, but the first meeting will be discussed in some form will be the second meeting in September for the City Council.
And before we go, is there anything else, any announcements, road construction, things you'd like to give us an update on?
Well, we completed our community crossings projects. Now we're doing some smaller paving projects. CSX is coming through town, replacing railroad crossings, and man, it's a mess because we have a lot of crossings and they're working on a lot of them at the same time. So that's kind of, the public's not happy about that, but we'll have good crossings when they're completed. You know, things are, it's been kind of a quiet year from that perspective. We've done everything we said we were going to do, but we're losing some revenue. So I have to be careful about doing some extra projects at the end. So we're still trying to sort through that. We still want to pave a few more streets, but I haven't made those announcements yet just because I really don't know how much money I'm going to have. And so we're just trying to commit, follow through with our commitments, and we had a pretty good year.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time. And is City Hall open?
Well, we're not open to the public except for court. But if you need an appointment, we'll meet you outside, or we can bring you into a room here if you have some critical business. So we're not totally open. We're partially open. If you
Right. Okay. Well, we'll see how it goes next month. And again, appreciate your time.
Okay, Joe. Thanks.
Thank you very much.